This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming up next hour, we will discuss why the former Pac-12 teams, sans Oregon, are struggling so much. But we are in the middle of the NBA runaround where I teased, should the NBA bring back fighting?
Ain't gonna be no buddy-buddy stuff.
There is a coach who is advocating for that very thing.
I got a good idea who this is.
A current NBA coach. He says, what's more entertaining than a little scuffle?
Well, there's a difference between a little scuffle and, like, are we going hockey fighting?
Well,
like,
I mean,
you're allowed to...
Right, it's like...
I mean, define...
They don't really fight.
Yeah.
They never really fight. Mm. But Joe Mazzulla...
The Celtics are the boss.
Of the Boston Celtics, who's insane.
Yeah, he's clearly a psycho, but...
Yeah. He is totally a psycho.
Yeah, but they won a title, and they clearly the best team in the NBA right now.
Like, if I said name the top five psychopaths in sports...
No, he's number one.
He's in the top five.
Dude, just the look at it, and he watches the town all the time. And...
Mazzulla or Harbaugh?
No,
Jim.
Well, Harbaugh's just an ass. I mean, he's...
He's a little nuts, too.
Yeah,
he is a little nuts, but still... I don't know that he's Mazzulla nuts.
Yeah,
like, who are our top five sports psychos?
Well, the Vancouver Four text line will help us out with this. Who could challenge Joe Mazzulla as the biggest sports psycho? I was thinking just coaches, but I mean, I bet you could come up with plenty of athletes who have what he's
got.
Well,
if you're going coaches, I mean, or if you're non-coaches, I mean,
like, yeah. So we're just talking coaches.
I mean, like, have you ever seen what Anthony Brown's doing? I mean,
Anthony Brown.
Anthony Brown. Like,
who's
or not Anthony?
Anthony
Brown,
Edwards?
Excuse me, Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Oh. Like, well, he's not in sports anymore, though.
Well, he's not. Well, that's.
But yes,
that's
he would be in the. 5 years ago, he would have been on the list.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think of. So you're going current guys,
coaches,
not analysts
though.
Or anything, because.
Well, yeah, analysts. Top five.
Any sports psycho.
Any sports psycho.
Okay.
Michael Irvin. Michael Irvin stabbing dudes
he's
in the neck
psych.
With scissors. Like, at any
that's a
time,
good one.
He's just on the sidelines freaking the F out over, like, everything. The dude's insane. 100%.
That's good.
Yeah.
Girl, you something else.
Is Kim Mulkey a sports
psycho?
Yeah,
Kim Mulkey's a sports psycho.
She's an ass.
She is. She's.
She seems a little crazy.
Yes. That's.
She's top five.
I don't know, man. She'd be in my top five. That's. Again, she's just frothing. Baylor was accused of 56 rapes, and she was like, if you don't send your kid to Baylor, I'll punch you in the face. You're like, really, Kim? Cool. That seems smart.
Well, anyway, Mazzulla, here's his quote. He said, the biggest thing we rob people of from an entertainment standpoint is you can't fight anymore. I wish we'd bring back fighting. What's more entertaining than a little scuffle? How come in baseball they're allowed to clear the benches? How come in hockey they're allowed to fight? I don't understand. I just don't get why some sports are allowed to clear the benches. They have bats and weapons in baseball. We don't. We have a ball. The other sport, hockey, has one of the hardest playing surfaces and a puck and a stick, and yet we're not allowed to throw down a little bit.
Well, but he's kind of a moron.
Does he really not know?
He's kind of dumb here because baseball doesn't allow fighting, jackass.
No, they don't allow any fighting, they don't get to hit each other with those sticks.
No, you get run. The only sport that allows fighting is hockey.
And no one can jump in.
No. So,
it's just two guys.
Yeah. By the way, I've long said that I would love it if you added a hockey structure because I think it pleases itself. The NBA, but the NBA doesn't want this. The NBA is the softest ass league full of pretend
But that
guys.
Would solve this real quick.
It would solve it real
who's
quick.
Who and like who can talk to who.
But
yeah.
Even in hockey, like the skilled players don't fight. You can't have a tough guy fight a skilled guy. If you do, you're going to get murdered by the other team. Like, so it's weird in hockey. It's like there's certain guys that are allowed to do it. So it's a weird culture. But yes, I do think it'd be fantastic if in the NBA you did have to back up your mouth by actually throwing down. And I also feel that the NBA would get a lot of guys that would try to fight until someone that actually knew how to fight came along.
A lot of guys would get slept, and that'd be the last time they fought.
Yeah.
I would put, you know what I would do is if they allowed fighting back in the NBA, somebody would hire me as the coach because, mm-hmm. of course, and I would have Bill Laimbeer and Charles Oakley on my team.
There you go.
And then three really good players.
Yeah.
And those two old men.
Well, it begs the question, even with the current NBA, if fighting were a thing, who's the enforcer that's in the league right now that you want?
There's a cat. He's a power forward. Like his brother's a professional MMA fighter.
Oh.
And like he's got like four black belts.
Who's the dude that took out the Pride of Troutdale? Isaiah Stewart? Was that him?
Yeah, Isaiah Stewart. There's an NBA player whose name is going to escape me, but like he is a literal like he could by all accounts
he could go be
a professional fighter, like, and no one wants anything to do with that guy. I can't remember what his name is. But he's not a great player, but you're like, yeah, I'm gonna leave that guy alone. Like Steven Adams is one that,
it's
that
James Johnson.
James Johnson. Yeah. I guess that dude has like four or five different black belts.
Yeah, he is a trained MMA fighter himself who also happens to be a basketball player.
Yeah, so it's like that guy. Like, eh. Again, everyone always wants to be a fighter until you get hit in the head, and then you're like, oh, that kind of sucks.
What about Josh Giddey?
Is he the last guy you'd take as your enforcer?
That was a joke.
Is there a bunch of 15-year-old girls running around out there? I don't know. Like, you never know. Like, Steve Blake, I guess he was kind of a badass.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have known it. That's the dude you don't think about.
Yeah, there's video. Steve Blake, who did he knock out in his Maryland practice? It was like Juan Dixon or something like that.
Yeah, Dame does a bunch of that boxing stuff. I don't know if he actually fights anyone, but, you know, he supposedly knows how to throw hands. There's just nothing worse than when you see, like, an NBA fight and they throw punches like little girls. Whereas back in the day, you throw down. And you know why they don't have that? Kermit Washington almost killed Rudy Tomjanovich. Mm-hmm. Like he
broke his jaw on the spot.
Yeah, he had a spinal fluid leak, shattering his face. It was like, yeah, that's kind of rough. But when you go back and watch like those like Kurt Rambis, like Kevin McHale things, like dude, they were like literally punching people and like clotheslining them, Dick Night Train Lane, and no one. There's like, it's fine. Ah, it's the NBA. Maurice Lucas days. That would be kind of fun.
What if the NBA just started signing MMA guys?
Every roster gets one.
Yeah. Crossover fighter guy.
And then you have to decide how valuable that person is. Do you spend, how much money do you spend on your MMA fighter?
And then do you train him up to shoot some threes?
Yeah. Do they add anything else? They have good court vision.
Francis Ngannou's like someone's backup power forward. John Jones coming off the bench. Like, it'd be quite interesting. Get Dana White involved. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well,
good ideas, guys.
I think it is. I think they are. I think we are. I think that's right.
Joe Mazzulla.
He's insane.
Yeah, he is.
But I dig him because his team is breaking basketball, by the way.
Yeah. Dude, they're kicking everyone's ass.
They're unbelievable. Yeah,
really. And you see what Peyton Pritchard's doing? That dude is lighting it up. He set the Celtics record last night for threes off the bench. He went 8-for-12, including a buzzer beater.
They're shooting like 60 a night.
Well, they can't. You can't really stop them.
They're really good. Because there's no weakness.
And when Peyton Pritchard, like when you put Peyton Pritchard on the Blazers, he's going to struggle because teams can just close out on him. With Boston, every one of those guys can shoot. Mm-hmm. So it's just who's open, shoot it, you're good.
Who's open, who's hot.
I mean, it's real. They're really good. So what percentage of all shots in the NBA are three-pointers, do you think? I have the number.
Ooh, good question.
This is a test.
That's a good question.
This is so far this season.
So far this season.
And it is up from last season, I will tell you that.
Boy, that is intriguing. So I'm going to say 35%.
I'll go higher. I'm going to say like 48%.
Right in the middle, it's 42%
of
all shots in the NBA are threes. That is up from 39% last year. The Celtics are doubling down this year.
Yeah.
They're shooting, I mean, 60 a game.
Yeah, in the Milwaukee game, I think they had, I want to say it was like 48 or 49, and people were like, that's a reasonable amount. little down for Boston.
Do people like this though? Like, is this?
I don't. I think
does something need to be done about this? Because it's just the evolution of the game.
Yeah.
I totally get
it's
why.
Natural. What would you do though?
Well,
like I think it was Nick Wright who normally he looks like a vampire, but he had, I want to say it was a week ago. He had I saw it come across my timeline. It was about a 4 or 5 minute thing, and it was, he made some valid points in that. you know, he talked about, you know, in baseball, you know, the mound height, banning the shift, limiting the number of, you know, the relief pitchers. You know, you have to throw to more than, you know, obviously the one batter, and the NFL not being allowed to, you know, to mug receivers anymore. He did talk about that there have been other leagues that have had to make changes because the neutral zone trap in hockey. You've had to make changes because while it's effective, it makes for a horrible viewing experience.
You have to make sure the product maintains
itself. And at
the
end of the day, we can say all we want that this is sports and it's competitive, but it's really not. It's entertainment. Like, it just is. You can say, oh, it's a sport first. It's not. It's entertainment because if no one watches, it doesn't matter that you're the best.
It's really a tough watch.
And so right now, yes, when you look at the current state of the NBA, it is not a great product. And he said that sooner or later, the NBA is going to have to sit down and figure out that this is not a sustainable thing because it's only going to get worse and more teams are going to keep doing this. And as it happens, the casual viewer is not going to be roped into this.
It's just so, like, to me, it just so simplifies a beautiful sport.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, shooting a three-point jumper is a skill,
yeah.
But it's one skill in a myriad of elements that make basketball great.
Yeah.
And so if it's just kind of diluted down to where just everybody shoots threes, like...
Well, it's tough because...
Hold on. You're missing... You're not allowing the fans to see what everybody on the floor can do,
yeah.
Right? Like, we want... The athleticism of the NBA... is incredible.
Yeah.
They're incredible.
Best athletes in the world.
But you don't really, that's not really on display when they're chucking up threes every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
You want to see alley-oops and running the floor and motion, people moving on offense. And it's just become so ISO and so stagnant that I think it's really hurt the entertainment value of the game.
Well, the numbers part of it, it makes sense for everyone to try and do it, but so few people can actually do it that it's like it's I guess it makes sense for the Celtics, but it definitely doesn't make sense for everyone, and it doesn't make sense for everyone who's trying to be the Celtics to try the same thing. It feels like there almost needs to be a penalty for doing it poorly to incentivize you from not doing it. Like, if you lost a point every time you missed a three-pointer instead of gaining one, you know? Or I even heard him say, like, make the dunk worth 3 points again, but make it worth three so that there's as much appeal to doing that as shooting it deep.
Yeah, it's just, this is...
Yeah, I need a more around-the-rim game. It's just way more interesting.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough watch for me.
Well, it's a tough watch for everyone.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, not everyone, yeah, but I mean, most people.
They're going to have the diehards. They're going to love it. But I even hear from people that love the NBA. I mean, love it. It's their favorite sport that say it's not good, man. It's a tough watch.
But the Celtic... You know, the elite teams are always fun to watch no matter how they play.
Yeah.
Like, I could watch Boston play all night. Even though they chuck 63s, they're freaking awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's five teams?
Yeah.
Four teams?
Yeah.
What about after that? I don't want to watch a mediocre team shoot 63s.
Yeah, and that's what you get. You get a lot of bad teams. And as someone says on the Vancouver Ford text line, the NBA has turned into a glorified 24-hour fitness pickup game. It's true, man. You just go down and you launch. And, you know, you can't even be a true big anymore. You know, if you're going to be a 7-footer, great. You still got to step back and shoot the three. You know, it just is. I mean, Zach Edey was shooting threes. Dude, that's like the
biggest
biggest plodding human being to come into the NBA in forever. And what did they have him do in the NBA, like the draft process? They're like, well, look at Edey adding a 3-point shot to his game.
He is an idiot.
How's he doing?
He had a good preseason.
I think he was doing well early, but also fouling out a lot. They paired him with John Morant in Memphis.
Yeah.
Oh, he's in Memphis.
Yeah, he's in Memphis. Like, he was having a nice preseason from what I was reading about him. But to be honest with you, I can't say that I've paid a lot of attention to Memphis regular season basketball.
By the way, Isaac, you brought this show up recently. Someone in the YouTube chat saying that there was a Portlandia episode where Fred and Carrie coached the Blazers and just told them to try and dunk every time.
Really? Yeah. Fantastic.
Looks like Zach Edey is starting. And he's giving you about 7 points and 5 rebounds a game. So,
great.
There you go. The greatness it is, Zachy.
It is true. Like Dirk or whoever you want to go back to.
He has the second best favorite odds to win Rookie of the Year behind Zachary Risache.
Really?
Yeah.
Like LaMarcus was like this. Those guys, the 7-footers shooting the threes.
Yeah.
Whenever that started, I mean, I guess Dirk did it so well that
Dirk
kind of ushered that in.
People around here will say Sabonis.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's
just, true.
I know he didn't do it to that degree, but I've heard many a Blazer fan say that he should get some credit for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just, I don't know who you credit.
It was the Europeans.
For me, it was Dirk because he was just so high profile and it was such a beautiful shot. And he really mastered him. Like, he was really, like, he was the one guy who was over, you know, who was not a guard. Mm-hmm. Who would shoot and you'd be, and it would be a fadeaway 3-pointer or something, and you would love the shot.
Yeah.
Most of the time, you're like, what the hell? Like, LaMarcus Aldridge used to drive me so crazy. At his height, he would shoot that mid, that 15 footer. Mm-hmm. And it just was so dumb.
Yeah.
And it's actually been proven to be dumb.
Yeah, don't
the
shoot
analytics
it.
Showed yeah. that that's a
you,
dumb
you
shot.
You either shoot at the rim or you shoot at the.
And
at
he
the
would settle point. For that. And it just drove me nuts.
But at the same time, there is some beauty into that mid-range game, which doesn't exist anymore, you know, because the analytics have driven it out. But we say the same thing about baseball, right? Like, you know, the analytics tell you it's hard to move guys over and to hit for average. And so no one does it anymore, right? You got a lot of strikeouts, low averages, but you hit bombs. And this is the same argument people had against baseball, is that the analytics have ruined the sport. And you know, baseball at least tried to do something about it.
I know. I think the NBA needs to adjust.
I would agree.
It's a tough watch. There is your NBA runaround for Tuesday.
Give me a backdoor cut, bitch.
That's right. Where's Princeton when you need him?
It's emotion.
Now that's basketball.
Those Warrior teams shot a lot of threes, but I thought that was a really fun team to watch.
And you know what else they had on that first championship run was Sean Livingston shoot, like killing them off the off, other teams off the bench with the mid-range game. He loved the mid-range.
In the news is next, the cop car rammer has been captured. Here's Buck.